It may be said that to worry is human. For each and every one of us, at some point in life, engage in this thing called worrying. Whether it's about money or work or health, the future, we tend to worry. And some of us know those popular songs that deal with worry. Don't worry, be. You know that one too. And the old tune, on the sunny side of the street, right? Leave your worries at the doorstep. Yet Ullard ballads deny that we can just dismiss our worries. It takes a worried man to sing a worried song. Oh, you know some things that I know. Worry, worry, worry. Woe is me. Yes, we sing about our worries. The word worry, or English word that is, comes from an old English word, wirgan. And you know what that word really means? It means to strangle or to seize by the throat. So when we worry, we are strangling ourselves. So what it is to worry? It is to respond to life's cares and concerns as though we do not have a heavenly Father that cares for us. The AP on August 23rd had a little story about Guillermo del Toro, the mastermind behind the movie, now playing, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. In a recent interview, Del Toro admitted that he is given to a very overactive imagination. He really worries a lot. He said, for example, if my wife is out and she takes 15 minutes longer than she should to get back from the grocery store, I begin fantasizing horror stories. I tell myself the car has crashed or a plane has landed on it. She has gone into a ditch. Something horrible has happened to her. That is worry. And many of us know it well. So Jesus says here in our text, therefore, I tell you, verse 25, do not worry. Now, he is not saying do not prudently plan for tomorrow. Rather, he is forbidding excessive concern about the things of tomorrow. So here in the Sermon on the Mount, look at it with me. Three times Jesus said, do not worry. And each time he gave the reason why you should not worry. So look at this structure that is right before us. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. Why? Verse 26, let's jump here for a minute. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Why shouldn't you worry? You have a heavenly Father. Then drop down to verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. The same language like in verse 25. Therefore, do not worry. Why? It is the Gentiles, verse 32, that worry. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. Why? Tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. So Jesus is basically saying, do not worry. How do you overcome worry? Get perspective. You have a heavenly Father that takes care of you. Do not worry. Don't be like the Gentiles. You know God as Father. Seek first His kingdom. Do not worry about tomorrow. Get the right priority in life. Tomorrow has enough cares of its own. So today we want to look at this briefly. What is the cure for worry? How may I win over worry? First of all, get the right perspective. Verse 25 to 30 of the text, what did Jesus say? Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or put on. He's dealing with things of the economy. He says, look at the birds in 26. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Do not worry. Look at how God takes care of living creatures. Do not worry. We are the only creatures, it seems, that worry. A Chicago physician a long time ago said he gave up his research of using dogs in ulcer research because he said dogs refuse to worry. Dogs don't get tense. And since, you know, medical people believe there's a correlation between worry and ulcers, tension and ulcers. This man was studying ulcers in dogs. So he said if you inflict an ulcer on a dog by artificial methods, he sits down and placidly cures himself by refusing to be bothered. But we worry. And why do we worry? Well, because everything around us, everywhere around us, we have these things of commercials and advertisements. And what does the basic commercial tell you? It says you have a problem and we have the solution. That's all they're telling you. You have acne, you know, we have the solution, you know. You have bad breath, we have the solution. And so we are always trying to get something that is better. A better house, a bigger car, a younger wife, you know what I mean? We're always... Did you hear that one? We're always trying to get what they advertise out there. And when we don't get it, we worry. So my simple solution is, you take the Sunday papers, you collect the Sunday papers, it has all those sales guides in there, and you walk right over to the garbage can and you empty them. And all the sales magazine that come during the week, don't take them in the house. Dump them in the garbage can. Quit watching, you know what, QVC or whatever it is. You'll be a happier person. For greed feeds our worries. So Jesus says in 26, look at the birds of the air. Interesting, he didn't say look at the dogs. Look at the birds of the air. You see that in 26? They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value? Your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, you may think that it is your seed in the bird feeder, right? It's God's seed. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at the birds. Birds do not call God Father, yet God feeds them. Birds cannot say thank you, and yet they are given. Look at how your Father takes care of them. Get perspective. Would he not take care of you? Will the God who feeds them forget you? No. Look at the birds. We win over worry by putting life in perspective. God takes care of birds. God will take care of me. Look at the birds. Now, birds are non-producers. You are not a bird. Jesus says, do not worry. Why? You are given the ability, unlike a bird, to produce and take care of yourself. So if you want more in life, produce more. God gives us time to work and earn and save money. God gives us wisdom to manage our resources. So it is through our labor that God gives us food. It is through our labor God gives us clothing and shelter. Therefore, do not worry about material things that labor can produce. Go and work. You would have. If you cannot get something by working for it, it is useless to worry about it. Look at the birds. So this perspective, my friend, teaches me a lesson. And I'm getting to know some of you here, and I think it has taught you the same lesson too. My life is my responsibility, amen? Not yours or the government's. I am born free. I have a better chance of remaining free if I take care of myself. Those who look to the government to take care of them may get free everything, but they may lose their freedom and end up like a caged bird. God takes care of the birds. God gives me the resources to take care of myself. Look at the birds. And he ends it by saying, are you not much more than they? Yes. And in verse 27 he said, and who among you, by worrying, can add a single hour to the span of your life? 28. Why do you worry about clothing? Maybe he was talking to women, you know, in that verse. Always nothing to wear. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Isn't that beautiful? Wish I had time to preach on that. Look at the lilies of the field. God clothed them. They look better than you did on your wedding day. Why? God designed their clothes. God dressed them. Will he not take care of you? Do not worry. God clothes the flowers of the field. God feeds the birds of the air. Get perspective. God will take care of you. So if you feel forgotten in life, if you feel forsaken, when you get home, look through a window. Do you see a bird? It doesn't matter which bird now. Do you see a bird? Let that bird remind you. My Father feeds them. My Father will take care of me. Do you see a flower? My Father has adorned it with beauty. My Father will take care of me. The way to win over worry, get perspective. God is taking care of things. Woody Hayes, the former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, the man that many people in Michigan loved to hate in those days of rivalry. Before he came to Ohio State, you know, he was a coach at a smaller school, Denison and Miami Universities. And coming to Ohio State, he said that the first time he went and he stood up in the stadium and he looked at those 86,000 seats, as it were, looking down or staring down at him, he said, "I shook up inside." He felt afraid, scared, emotional, threatened. But standing next to him, holding his hand, was his little son, Woody Hayes said. He said, "My son apparently felt my reaction as I was overwhelmed and overcome by 86,000 seats. And my son said to me, 'But Daddy, the football field is the same size.'" Get perspective. God is still God. Amen. I've lost my job. God is still God. I got a bad diagnosis. God is still God. I must face surgery this week. God is still God. Get perspective. God knows. God feeds. God clothes. God is in charge. And as Paul would tell us, "He who spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how would he not also with Christ freely give us all things?" We win over worry by getting the right perspective. But secondly, we win over worry by getting the right passion. Verse 31, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?'" Verse 31, "Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." Right passion. So he says, you're concerned about what you're going to eat. What are you going to wear? How are you going to live? It is the Gentiles. It's the people who do not have a covenant relationship with God that worry about such things. God knows you need them. God would give them to you. Gentiles run after them. They strive for them. God gives them to you. All you have to do is strive for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. The human heart tends in an earthly direction. The worldly-minded person and the poor person commit the same sin. One heaps up material things, and the other person worries that he or she doesn't have them. We always want more. You see it in the text? The Gentiles strive for these things. We always want more. The biggest toys, the best toys, the most toys. In that life, how much do you have? It reminds me of a time when, you know, the little lake behind your house, the neighbor was there with his kids, and my grandson was there, so we went down and, you know, tried to catch something. I'm not a fisherman. So then we went over to talk to them, and the kids introduced themselves, and the first thing she asked my grandson is, "How much fish do you have? How much fish do you have?" You know what I mean?
That's all life is about. How much do you have? How big is yours?
We always want more. We always want more. Jesus says, get a different passion. Get a different drive. The right passion for you is seek first, strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We win over worry when we make God first in our lives. Seek other things, that's okay. But one thing should be first, one thing must be first. The interest of the kingdom of God. You see, when we seek God's kingdom, we get kingdom values. And kingdom values teach us to be generous, to be compassionate, to be kind, to trust God, to give up greed and lust and selfishness. It teaches us to deny ourselves. Kingdom values are antidotes, as it were, for wanting more and seeking pleasure. Do not worry, Jesus says. That's what the Gentiles do. The people who don't trust God do that. God knows everything you need. Seek His kingdom first. And thirdly and finally, how we win over worry. Yes, we must get the right perspective. We must get the right passion. Now we must get the right priorities. Verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. I wish he didn't say that. Because I'm looking forward to tomorrow. You know, I don't want the worries. But it's reality. Don't bother tomorrow. You'll have problems tomorrow. So many worries that concern us are often worries about tomorrow. Often people are not concerned about paying the car note today. They're worried about paying the car note tomorrow. Isn't that so? Paying it 6 months from now. Tomorrow. God has promised to take care of us, not tomorrow, but today. Today is all we have. How you win over worry? Do not worry about tomorrow. Life is conditioned by discipline and disappointments, pain, sorrow, hardships. Each day, today, has enough of its own. What are you thinking about? Something tomorrow? Drop it. Come back today. So treat worries or take worries as you take your vitamins. Did anybody take tomorrow's vitamins today? Have you done that yet? Treat your worries like that, just like you take your vitamins. Today's worries are enough. I have made a little observation, friends. Have you ever looked at a typical calendar? What do you see on the typical calendar? August, okay? We have all the days. Isn't it the case, a typical calendar, you have, let us say, the 28th, and then there's a box, huh? The 29th, and then there's what? A box, right? Ain't it like that? So this is what I suggest. Every day, write your problems, as it were, in a box. The 28th, write the problems in that box. And when you worry during the day, only worry about what is in that box. Do not worry outside the box. Build a firewall around tomorrow. Deal with life today. A pub owner in England put a big sign in his pub. Free beer tomorrow. Free beer tomorrow.
And only it was those who drank too much beer that came back tomorrow expecting to get free beer. Because he never gave a free beer. Why? Tomorrow is always tomorrow.
Tomorrow belongs to our Heavenly Father. When God gives it, God would also give grace to bear with tomorrow's problems. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So many of us are programmed to worry. Our parents taught us to do it.
When you get older, you'll start worrying about life. You remember those things? When you get older, you'll start worrying about. It's time you start worrying about. Oh, yes, they told us that.
We are programmed to worry. And so subconsciously, we always worry that something bad would happen. Let's talk about it, friends. Ain't it so? We have that fear that something bad is going to happen to my son, my daughter, my spouse. And we spend life fighting that feeling, resisting that feeling that something bad is going to happen. So we can't relax. We can't enjoy life. For we have to be always on guard. Something bad is going to happen. Jesus says, forget about it. Do not worry about tomorrow. A bassoon player once came to the great conductor Toscanini with furrowed brow. He said that his instrument would not sound the high E flat. Toscanini smiled and looked at him and he said, don't worry. There is no E flat in your music tonight. And I want to tell you, many of us worry just like that about the unnecessary things, the unfounded things. Do not worry that you may go to a nursing home. That may not be in your future. Do not worry that you may die of the same disease your mother, your father, your brother, your sister died of. It may not be in your body. Do not worry about being broke. You may never have to deal with that. There is no E flat in your music tonight. How do we win over worry? Get the right perspective. You have a Heavenly Father. Takes care of the birds, the flowers. Would he forget you? No. Get the right perspective. How we win over worry? We quit worrying about ourselves. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make that the passion of your life. Get the right passion. God first. How we win over worry? Today has enough problems of its own. Arrange things in proper order. Get priority. Deal with today. Today alone. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All things will be added to you. Amen. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. Number 526.
Privilege to carry. Hey. complain to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Of me trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Could we find a friend so faithful? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, be weak and heavy laden, covered with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Did thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his hands you take and
to the Lord. Lord, here we are, people that carry around much concern in life. In these uncertain times, when we look at our dwindling resources, Lord, we have to say we are prone to worry. As we get older, we have concerns about our health and our welfare in the evening of life. We are prone to worry. We think of our children and our grandchildren and the way society, as it were, is coming apart. We are prone to worry. But Lord, you have taught us here today, do not worry. So friends, now let us bring our worries to God. What are you deeply concerned about? What can't you get out of your mind? What is heavy on your soul? What worries you? What are you worrying about? Did you hear the word today? Your Heavenly Father takes care. So what I ask you to do now is simply this. Just see yourself standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. His hands are outstretched to you. Now just say, Lord, this is my problem. This is what I worry about. I give it to you. And take that thing in your mind and place it in his hands. Yes, you do that. Do it right now. Lord, I give this to you. I cease to worry. I would only trust. You are my Father in heaven. You will take care of me. In the name of Christ. Amen.